For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth.
Okay, before we dive into today's episode, listen, you're going to want to listen to this and then get your Bible out, get into God's word, and let this just be an encouragement to push you further into scripture and have you peeling it all apart. You may need to grab a few different translations, listen to some commentary, pull out whatever it is, but let this be an episode that encourages you to just see what scripture says, because it speaks for itself. It is powerful. It is inerrant. It is living and active. It's the best, y'all. And I hope that after you hear this, you'll have the same outcome as I did, as my husband has, as many others have, because this just pushes you into a really good place where you have to get those Bibles out and see what God says. So, all right, let's get to it. Welcome to The Well. This podcast focuses on applying the Bible to our everyday lives, discussing real life issues from a Christian perspective, and encouraging women to walk in faith. As Jesus followers, we have all experienced the freedom that comes with choosing to follow Him, and we want to be a part of your journey to living a life rooted in Christ. This podcast is sponsored by Costello's Butcher Shop, recently voted best locally owned retail store in the Gulf Coast. Y'all, they have everything. Your Wagyu steaks, a deli, fine cheeses, fine wines, desserts, just all the amazing things. They're located at 8190 West Fairfield Drive in Pensacola, Florida. And don't forget about their free lunch program through the KTF. 7 days a week, a child can walk in to Costello's and get themselves a sack lunch and fill their bellies. I think Christy said they've almost beat 100,000. That's amazing. All right, so go in, say hi, let them know Truth Rising sent you, and don't miss out. You will be so glad you did. All right, Truth Rising ladies, you are getting a special treat tonight or today, whenever you're listening to this. I have my whole family here. Baby girl, you want to say hi?
Hi.
I have my husband here as well, and he is going to be walking us through a little theory that we have that the scriptures have just kind of revealed the longer he studied. I did not find this. I did not know about this until my husband approached me with this. At first, I'm not going to lie, I was a little thrown. For whatever reason, I was like upset that day, wasn't I?
Yeah.
I was not happy. I thought he was trying to say something that wasn't true. And then as I sat down and we started walking through, it was kind of crazy how this just jumped out within God's word. And that is our theory on Good Thursday instead of Good Friday. So I'm going to let him kind of take it from here. Hang with us. He's got a lot of great stuff here that we're going to walk through. Honey, you want to go ahead?
Hi, everyone. My name's Nate.
Oh, yeah. And he's got the sickness and he's kind of dying. So bear with us.
Luckily, I have my beautiful wife here to help me get through this. So I just want to start with saying that we believe that Jesus did not eat the Passover, and the Last Supper was not the Passover meal. There's many interpretations of all the texts that we're going to be going over, and dates ranging between 30 and 33 AD of when the crucifixion and resurrection was. We believe that he was crucified in AD 32. Some timelines do, however, use Luke's tied to the Luke 3:1 here.
The 15th year of the reign. Fisher, getting the toy. Yeah. He never uses it. All right, I'm going to help him with the scriptures to save his voice a little bit. Luke 3:1, the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar.
So I'm no expert in the matter, and for sure we're not going to end this debate, but we're going to present some evidence for our theory. None of this really does take away from the meaning of the sacrifice of Christ. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We do, however, respect everyone's view of the timeline of Christ's death and resurrection, because ultimately he was crucified for our sins so we can be justified to the Father. It's only because of the blood of Christ that we are justified and forgiven of our sins.
Like it says in John 1:29, the next day he, John the Baptist, saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world."
Thank you. This is just a way to get deeper into scripture and let the Holy Spirit lead you.
That's the biggest key right there, is letting the Holy Spirit
help you understand what God's word says.
That goes into my heart really well.
Good.
Okay.
I do think that most theologians and scholars agree that Jesus was resurrected on Sunday. I'm not really sure if there's anyone that doesn't believe that. So
I've never heard anyone. Well,
neither.
There are some theories out there that Christ was crucified on Wednesday, resurrected on Saturday, and they're tying some of the things we're going to be going over to with the Saturday Sabbath that we're going to be talking about.
Mm-hmm. But so, we believe he's resurrected on Sunday.
Yes, true. That's Easter.
Yeah.
All right, babe, you want to give us a quick synopsis of what we're going to be talking about leading up to the Passover?
Yes. Yeah, so Moses has gone before Pharaoh, and he continues to say, "Let my people go." Pharaoh continues to deny that. And then eventually Pharaoh's heart is hardened by God. And this is how we start leading up to the Passover, because this is going to be the first. Actually, let me go ahead and keep reading. Let's go straight into scripture on that one. So Israel was stuck in Egypt, Exodus 12. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to their father's houses, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor shall take according to the number of persons, according to what each can eat. You shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lamb at twilight. Then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel, lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the flesh that night, roasted on the fire. With unleavened bread and bitter herbs, they shall eat it. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted its head, it with its legs and its inner parts." Sorry, guys, I this before, but this is all new again, like when you read it out loud instead of in your head. All right. "And you shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning, you shall burn. In this manner, you shall eat it, with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And on all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." And then let me go into the reason we're going so much into Old Testament scriptures, by the way, is because this is where it prophesied of what was going to happen with Jesus. This is where you find a lot of these answers. The Old Testament is all about the coming of the Christ in many areas. And because God knew we couldn't get it right, so he's going to have to send his son. And this is prophesied all the way in Genesis. In the very beginning, it talks about that Jesus was going to come and what he was going to have to do.
Yeah.
But anyway, so that's why he's having us go so much into scripture, is because this is where it's going to help get to the conclusion that he's come to. All right, so now we're going to go to Leviticus 23, verse 4. "These are the appointed feasts of the Lord, the holy convocations, which you shall proclaim at the time appointed for them. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at twilight, is the Lord's Passover. And on the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread to the Lord. For 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall have a holy convocation. You shall not do any ordinary work, but you shall present a food offering to the Lord for 7 days. On the seventh day, a holy convocation, you shall not do any ordinary work."
So the reason we're going so in depth through Exodus and Leviticus and reading such big chunks of that part is because the preparation that God told them to do is the linchpin that we're going to use to determine the resurrection and or the crucifixion and resurrection of Christ.
What's a linchpin?
Like where we're gonna hinge our theory on.
Oh.
What are you talking about?
So we'll pick up at the Last Supper, or what we believe is the preparation day. First, you'll notice only bread and wine was mentioned in the New Testament scriptures. There's no mention of a lamb. It was just to be prepared. Let's take a look at Matthew's account on the day of the Last Supper, chapter 26, verse 27. Babe, you got it.
Oh, yeah. It's chapter 26, verse 17, actually. So now on the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Where will you have us prepare for you to eat the Passover?"
And then over there in Exodus, we just read that every man shall take a lamb according to their father's house, a lamb. Now, the disciples need to find a place to prepare the lamb, or possibly lambs, and it's in plural, because there's 12 disciples still. Sure. And with Jesus, plus whatever family they would be eating with, they had to make sure there'd be enough meat to go around. So back in Matthew 26, 17, the first day of unleavened bread. If we take a look back there in Leviticus, we read the first day of unleavened bread was to be a holy convocation. You shall not do any ordinary work. In terms, we understand this is a Sabbath day, an extra Sabbath day, because this day would have been on Friday, April 11th, 32 AD. Jewish customs were that Saturday was the Sabbath, which is why we typically think of Jesus being crucified on Friday, the day before the Sabbath. As John 19:31 tells us, baby, want to read this for us?
"Since it was the day of preparation, and so that the bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for the Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away."
Now, with this first day of unleavened bread being a Sabbath, the Jews had to make sure Jesus was dead before Friday. Jews start their day at sunset the night prior. So Jesus would have to have been killed before sunset on preparation day.
This is just nuts.
So, babe, you want to read John 13, 1 through 2 for us?
Yes. "So now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him." Then you jump down to verse 29. "Some thought that because Judas had the money bag, Jesus was telling him, 'Buy what we need for the feast,' or that he should give something to the poor. So after receiving the morsel of bread, he immediately went out, and it was night."
Yeah, it was night. This was the beginning of the day of preparation, because remember, everything has to be done in the next 24 hours, because then the first day of unleavened bread starts at sunset the next day. They want to pick us up, John 18, 28 for us?
Yep. "Then they led Jesus from the house of Caiaphas," did I say that right?
Caiaphas, yeah.
Okay. "Caiaphas, to the governor's headquarters. It was early morning. They themselves did not enter the governor's headquarters, so they would not be defiled, but could eat the Passover. Mark 15:42 says, 'And when evening had come, since it was the day of preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council, who was also himself looking for the kingdom of God, took courage and went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate was surprised to hear that he should have already died. And summoning the centurion, he asked him whether he was already dead. And when he learned from the centurion that he was dead, he granted the corpse to Joseph. And Joseph bought a linen shroud and, taking him down, wrapped him in the linen shroud and laid him in a tomb that had been cut out of the rock. And he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Jesus, saw where he was laid." And then back to Exodus 12. "The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, 'This month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to their father's houses, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor shall take according to the number of persons, according to what each can eat. You shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight." And then last Matthew 27:45. Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, I'm going to mess this up.
Eli, lema sabachthani.
That is, my God, why have you forsaken me?
So at twilight, back in Exodus 12, at twilight, the Passover lambs are being slaughtered all over Jerusalem, even on this day, the day that Jesus was crucified. Even up to tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of lambs are being slaughtered. At the very same time these lambs are being slaughtered, the true Passover lamb shed his last blood, gave his last breath. And when Jesus had received that sour wine, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. That's from John 19:30. And for the last thing that we want to say, it's 1 Corinthians 5:7. Our Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed.
Dang. Okay, so as you can see, there's a lot of amazing scriptures here that he's given. And I'm going to put all of those in the show notes. But there was one scripture you didn't put in here.
Which one was that?
He shall be 3 days in the...
Jonah passage.
What was that? Can we look that up real quick? This is just another one that kind of... This is what solidified it for me, I think.
Mm-hmm. Hand me my Bible really quick, baby. Sure. So we're going to be going back to Matthew 12, verse 40.
By the way, he got a lot of this information from the Bill Arnold show.
Yep.
Who presented it, though?
Jeff Verdorn.
Yes, he's an amazing Bible teacher, let me tell you what. But he's the one who presented this. We heard this back in 2020. And it's awesome because a lot of people have had these same questions. They're like, but it doesn't add up. And a lot of it is because of this scripture.
So Matthew 12, verse 40.
For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth.
Wonderful. So if you add it up, if he dies on Friday, that's not three nights.
I have a question.
What's their question?
How can he die on Thursday, but really he died on Thursday? If he actually died on Thursday, why do people say Good Friday is when he died?
It just came.
Tradition.
Tradition of man. It came about as time passed. A lot of the things have passed away that we should probably recognize and celebrate, like the Passover and other traditions that have come, like Shabbat on Fridays to welcome in the Sabbath. Jesus participated in these. But what I'm saying is that all of this can be found and supported by scripture. This isn't just our opinion. This is in God's word. And so if you want to take the time, go look it up for yourself. You'll be shocked when you see this. And it's not something that knocks scripture.
Amen.
This is something that actually just shows how inerrant it is. That means without error. But I think that this is just something that shows even more support that you should be in God's word, meditating on it, asking the Holy Spirit to basically translate for you and lead you through and guide you through, because this to me was just, it just strengthened my faith. What did it do with yours?
Yeah. It really, for me, solidified the fact that you just said that the Bible is inerrant. Mm-hmm. If you hear a pastor or you hear a Bible teacher say something, and even if it sounds right, check it.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds amazing to me that both of you are doing this. And you let me come into this, and that you're speaking scripture to all your friends and all your half family. I just love that you are doing this for everyone, and I just hope that you keep on doing these.
Aw, thanks, honey. All right. Well, other than that,
Fisher, you got anything to say? You squeak your duck again.
Now he's asleep.
I'm about to say Psalms 23 that I learned a couple weeks ago at my school. The whole chapter, guys, so hang out with me.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me by still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leads me on paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thine art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anoint my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Sister, I love you.
Hope you guys have a good night or a good day. I hope you like this, and make sure to listen to all our other podcasts that I think we are going to do more of them. Maybe on Easter. I don't know. See you guys. Bye.
God bless.
Okay. That was a lot, I know. So I just want to hop back on. And I did want to mention a couple of other things that have been recognized since all of this awesome discussion has dispersed amongst the Truth Rising team and just in our household and with other friends of mine. I want to first and foremost say, if you were like me and kind of heard this and it maybe jolted you a little bit, listen, this is not in any way, shape, or form, like Nate said, to take away from the meaning of the sacrifice of Christ. Christ died for us while we were still sinners, and he rose again 3 days later. And you can trust that and know that to be true. And that's what all of this is about. The only reason we brought this into, I don't know, into maybe your radars out there is because it ended up pushing me so much more into God's word and my understanding of not only Holy Week, but Old Testament scriptures and what it said about the coming of Christ. And it has only strengthened and grown my faith. I am so grateful for this. I would say I can't sit here and tell you 100%. Yes, Christ was crucified on Thursday. But after studying this, I mean, it's kind of what I'm taking away from it. But again, in the end, I don't want any of us to lose focus. And Nate wanted me to make sure to push that across, that no one lose focus on what really happened that day and what that meant for Christianity. And so I just wanted to say that. And then also, I did want to say there is one other part within scripture that we did not address. And it is Mark 14, starting at verse 12. It says, "And on the first day of unleavened bread, when they sacrificed the Passover lamb, his disciples said to him, 'Where will you have us go and prepare for you to eat the Passover?' And he sent two of his disciples and said to them, 'Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him, and wherever he enters, say to the master of the house, "The teacher says, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?" And he will show you a large upper room furnished and ready. Prepare for us. And the disciples set out and went to the city and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. And when it was evening, he came with the 12, and as they were reclining at a table, just says at table, and eating, Jesus said, "I truly say to you, one of you will betray." And it goes into talk about Judas here. I wish there would be a Messianic Jew I could just talk with and ask these questions in regards to more of how did it work when you observed the Passover? What were the proper steps? Because it says in the very beginning, sacrifice the Passover lamb. And I did go into my interlinear Bible, and it does translate over that's how that verse is. However, I just kind of prayed, asked the Holy Spirit, please let me see what I'm supposed to see here. And if you read through it, it still doesn't specify that Christ ate the Passover. And you may be saying, well, it says that he said to go prepare for me to do that with my disciples. True. But at the time, you have to understand he had been bringing the warning, and he tells his disciples, "I'm going to be crucified," but they continue to not believe. And so I think that maybe he was just giving them the normal direction as it was to come, right? Because at this time, this is what they're all preparing to go do. Because if you go back to the original direction provided in Exodus 12 for how they are to execute the Passover, I guess, I don't know if that's the best choice of words,
It says, well, if you start at the beginning of 12, it says, the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, this month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to their father's houses. And then if you jump over towards 5, verse 5, it says, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight. Okay, and then this is where the direction really comes in. Verse 11, in this manner you shall eat it, with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. So if you look here in Mark 14, this is just another part of it. It says in verse 17, so if you start chapter 14 of Mark, verse 17, and when it was evening, he came with the 12, and as they were reclining at the table and eating, Jesus said, so it says they're reclining at the table and eating. And then if you go on to verse 26, then they end up leaving the house. And if you continue on in Exodus, it says you are not to leave. They end up leaving the house and going to the Mount of Olives.
So I did want to acknowledge this part of scripture that we didn't just walk by it. But what my husband had said is how, yes, this is here. And we just read what it says. But if you really go and break down all of the other scriptures and really peel them apart, it still leads to Thursday as the crucifixion, for the crucifixion of Christ. Last but not least, if you want to dive even more and more into this, first go into God's word, let him lead you. But there's also this amazing podcast called Afternoons with Bill Arnold. On this podcast, they do every year, I think they've started a new tradition of bringing on Jeff Verdorn, who is an amazing Bible teacher. And there, I'm going to put that in the show notes. You can go listen to this podcast. He really breaks this down in such a beautiful way and a way you can understand. And he also provides in there Christ's final week. It is a timeline of all of these things. So if you really want to get your hands on something and then be able to listen along as he discusses it, have at it. I wanted to say, it's okay if you disagree. This is just something that I think is so amazing about God's word, that it doesn't matter who you are. He knows how to meet all of us right where we need to be. And I just think what an amazing gift God gave us within his word to be able to go to a place when we have these questions, when we want to know more, when we have a curiosity or we have doubts or whatever the case may be. God says, it's good. Come to me, right? Don't go out into the world looking for all of these. Go to God's word or someone that's going to be able to help you walk through God's word. He is sufficient. He will be able to enable you through. Either you'll receive the answers you're looking for, or he'll just give you peace in those that maybe you don't fully understand. And that's okay too. There has been things within life and within Christianity that I don't have answers for. But God has been so gracious and so merciful to give me peace in those because I went to him with it and I talked to him about it. So however this goes for you, I just want to still make sure and encourage you all. The whole point of Easter, y'all, is to remember, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He died for you and for me and for those to come. He died for all. And that's not where it stopped. See, Christ defeated death. And then he ascended up into heaven where he sits on the right side of God's throne. And he didn't leave us. Nope, he didn't leave us. He sent down our counselor and our comforter through the Holy Spirit. That if you choose to repent and follow Jesus and receive that eternal salvation through Christ, because he shed his blood for you, for me, the Holy Spirit then dwells in you and you are sealed for eternity. I don't know what better news there is out there. There's no bigger gift. There's no bigger event in history that ever happened. And so just take the time to stop, talk to God, pray, read his word. Don't miss Jesus. especially this week, especially today, especially right now, because you're not promised tomorrow. We don't live in yesterday. That's gone and past. Just don't miss Jesus. He's right there. He's always been right there. All right. Other than that, Jesus loves you. We love you. And God bless. Okay. Bye again.
At Truth Rising, we believe prayer is powerful. So I'm going to pray a blessing over you. May God be gracious to you and bless you and make his face shine upon you. May you experience the love of Christ. Though it is so great, you will never fully understand it, and you may be filled with the fullness of life and the power that comes from God. May Christ make his home in your heart through faith. May your love abound more and more in knowledge and in depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruits of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to God's glorious might. And may you be filled with joy. May the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. And I say all this in Jesus' name. Amen.